I cannot tell you how much I love this lady. Just can't tell you. Can't put it into
Y'all
words.
Y'all need to go to Israel with her. Everybody in here, you need to pray about that because the Lord already said yes, you're supposed to.
It's truth.
And so you really didn't need to pray. But if you needed to pray, just be sure that you got a second witness. I'm telling you, it will change. Now, I just had my, I stopped counting at 36.
How old you are? You forgot how old you are?
36. You mean like double that?
Yeah.
We won't go there. But how many times I've been to Israel? I promise you, every time I've been to Israel, there have been things on every trip that I did not see before. And the spirit of wisdom and revelation that has touched my life through those trips. You know, the Bible says that this is not my sermon. So y'all don't take this off my time. But, you know, the Bible says that there are altar places. Those were the places where God appeared. And because of that he appeared in those places, people still just flock to those places now. And that there is something, there's an altar place there for you. That means where you meet God. Where you meet him. Now, if you're interested in that, in meeting him, then you should pray about going. It is just an amazing thing.
And you know, that just kind of leads me into something. We're just about to get our school going
right,
over there.
Right, and this is not your sermon either.
No, this is not my sermon.
No, just teasing.
And we'll have some exciting news for you before the meeting is over. And, you know, he's coming.
You know, you had before, every time the Lord's done something, you know, there are patterns by the Holy Spirit in your life. And you look back over those patterns and you see how God worked. One of the patterns is that God always speaks to you when you're down on the floor.
Well, that is a good place to be.
Isn't that right, Brenda? Isn't that right?
Or next to the blue chair.
Or next to the blue chair. Do you still have that blue chair?
I do have the blue chair.
Is it a different color now? I hope
no,
it is.
It's the same.
I was hoping it had changed.
No, it didn't change.
Well.
Now I deal in another chair most often, but I save the blue chair. But I do want to tell you, you can't divorce what's happening in the end times from Israel.
And, it just all comes together.
All comes together. That's why we're going to talk about why the blood moons are on the calendars, God's calendar. And I do want to tell you that Saturday.
Oh, we could be out of here.
Oh, Jesus, hallelujah.
Oh, my Lord God. Woo. My God. Woo.
So anyway, the schedule of, sir, you didn't interrupt. Schedule of services are Holy Ghost tonight. Saturday morning, Chip Brim will be speaking. Saturday afternoon, no meeting. Rest and get ready for Saturday night. And Saturday night, Ronnie Levy will be here and I will be here. And we'll be talking about Israel. And then Sunday afternoon at 3, Brother Kenneth Copeland will be speaking. And at the tent, I think it's 9:30 or so, out at Prayer Mountain, Brother Copeland will be speaking. Bless the Lord. And now, precious.
How many people in here that you've never missed one of these meetings since it started? Is there anybody in here? Stand up. I want to see you people that you've never missed one of the meetings. Keter. There's Keter.
Keter.
My brother-in-law and sister-in-law. Hey, Lee. You missed a meeting, Keter. I know you did. I remember one time when Lucy and I were here and you and Mac weren't. Max missed a lot of them, but, you know. Wow. I never have missed one. I'm telling you what, of all the meetings that I go to across the world, the power, the waves of glory that the glory of God that I have seen in this meeting, I'm telling you, it's just amazing what happens here. And I know because it's our dear sister. You know, there's a scripture. Now, this isn't my sermon either, but I'll tell you about it. There's a scripture over in Luke. Let's see if I can find that. And this reminds me so much of Billy. This scripture. We're looking for it. Where are you? That's what I thought. Yeah, that's it. It's over in Luke, the 14th chapter. And this is how Jesus worked with the anointing. This is how he worked with it. And it's so simple. And he said, in a parable, to those who were invited to this place. He said, when, verse 7 of Luke 14, did I say that? All right. When he noticed how they were selecting the places of honor, saying to them, when you are invited anywhere to the marriage feast, do not recline on the chief seat or in the place of honor, lest a more distinguished person than you has been invited. And then you're sitting in his seat. And he who invited both of you will come to you and say, let this man have the place. Then with your humiliation, you will begin to take the lowest place. But when you are invited, go and recline in the lowest place, so that when your host, that would be the Holy Ghost, comes in, he can say to you, friend, go up higher. Then you will be honored in the presence of all who sit there. Then everybody gets exalted when he's honored. So he was talking here about decreasing, that you would give space to the Holy Ghost. That's the way Billy is. She always leaves that seat open. She's always left that place open for God to move. I have my word. I have something I'm going to say. But I'm going to tell you. The Holy Ghost, when he wants to move, he's got it. You got it, Holy Ghost. That's what I love about Billy's meetings. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Let's sing something. I don't know. Seems like we need to. Do y'all want to? I know what. Let's sing. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Let's all just turn our eyes. Look at Jesus right now today. Hallelujah. You can sit in your seat in case y'all are tired. You can sit in your seat.
Do it now, do it. And the things are born.
He said, behold the man. Let's behold him right now. Jesus, picture him there, seated at the right-hand side of the Father in glory and honor, listening to the divine adorations of the heavenly hosts and of the angels. And then the Father turns to him and says, it's time to go. So he gets up, he lays his royal robes aside. He takes his crown and his scepter and hands it to the Father. And he leaves heaven and comes all the way down to earth. That we might not perish, but have eternal life. Life forever and ever and ever and ever. Throughout the ages and eons to come forever. That we would live with him forever and ever. Wonderful Jesus, wonderful Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's just worship him out of your heart. Get a song from your own heart. I tell you, there's something Jesus has done wonderful for you today that you can praise him for right now. Maybe he's touched your life in a way nobody else could touch your life. Maybe he saved your kids. Maybe he saved your husband or your wife. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Even those today that are watching by the web, you can receive this. I heard from yesterday morning that they could sense the anointing of God from watching on the web that came into homes. The fire of God burned so bright in here yesterday. We're so thankful for Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Yeah. Hallelujah. Sliva komadikin. This seems like it's for somebody that's out there and they're watching by the web today. And I just get this word coming up in my spirit. You know how the word will bubble up like that. Hallelujah. In the sea. And a sakate bevromandera star. And the enemy of your soul has tried to hem you in. The enemy of your soul has tried to block you. Has tried to make your influence nil and void. That you would not work and do all that was designed and ordained for you to do with your life. That you would not get that mark that the supernatural has marked you with. But the enemy is a liar. He is a liar and he is the father of lies. And there has been a wide door, supernatural door of the spirit that is opened for you. And the operation of God for you and in you cannot be denied. That door cannot be closed. And so you continue to follow the leadings and the promptings and the guidance of the Holy Spirit. And you will find God working miraculously for you. Do not pray not about just the things that are happening in your life now, but pray out way beyond that. And you are destined to wreak havoc on the enemy's kingdom. Yay! The enemy thinks he has wreaked havoc upon you. Do not allow your mind to be engrossed with what he has done, but reach out with your spirit and by the realm of the spirit, you shall be set in a high place and you shall see and you shall know. And by the touch of the anointing and the power of God, your eyes will see in greater detail. And by that, those eyes seeing in greater detail, it will activate your mouth. And mountains shall surely be removed. And you shall know that I am at work, saith the Lord, by the understanding and the discretion and the light that I shall surely give you. The light that I shall bring you to solve testy situations, solutions. You will say, ha, my God is at work, because I could have never thought of that. And so be encouraged today. Know that the very desires of your heart, the things that your heart secretly cries out for, I am working, saith the Lord. And by the grace that is upon you and by the anointing that is upon you, great bondages shall be broken. Hallelujah. The Lord, he perfects that which concerns you. For the greater one is living in you. Hallelujah. Now lay your hand on yourself. If that was for you, maybe it was for somebody in here. If that was for you, just lay your hand on yourself and say, he perfects that which concerns me. Hallelujah. Blessed word of the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. And so I turn my eyes upon his presence. Somebody in here, you had a lump. I see one on somebody's leg, but it doesn't have to be on your leg, but if you're in here and you have a lump, that lump is diminishing right now as we stand in the presence of Jesus. So you don't need anybody to lay hands on you. When the presence of Jesus comes, the Bible says, there I am in the midst of you. Do you believe that this morning? I believe it too. So if that's you, just lay your hand right there on wherever that lump is. We curse lumps in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. That lady that got touched yesterday about with her, she had a spine problem. She was laid out right here in front of me where I was, right here, and I was standing behind her. That lady, the Lord, now don't give up on that. Ha, ha, ha. Just keep believing, keep believing, keep believing. And the Lord is working. The Lord is working. I sense somebody's digestive system is being fixed. Well, you don't have to take Tums anymore. Isn't that wonderful that we don't have to take Tums? That Jesus becomes our Tums. Hallelujah. The great physician, he takes over. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. Praise God. There's a quickening here of healing this morning. Sometimes there's a healing presence and it just comes to abide. And he'll heal whatever ails you. Doesn't even have to be in your body. It could be something in your soul. Just by the presence of God, it'll fly off of you just like a bird flies away. And you're like looking for it. Where'd that go? Don't look anymore. Hallelujah. Praise God. They grow strangely dim in the Touch the people today, Jesus. Touch the people, Lord. Touch the people. Touch their heart. Do what only you can do for them, Father. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Taking us from one degree of glory to the next degree of glory. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let me see your Christian smile today. That's the best smile, you know, the Christian one. Let me see that one. Now do that to your neighbor and you may be seated for just a few minutes. Hallelujah. Now you know, laughing doesn't bother me. Crying doesn't bother me. Some people in a service, you know, things will bother them. People make noise. It doesn't bother me. It doesn't bother me. If you ever preached in Burma, Lord have mercy. You never seen anything like. One time I think we were in Indonesia and we were preaching and there's four ladies on the front row and all of them suddenly undressed to the waist and started nursing their babies. Yow. So, you know. All kind of things. So, hallelujah. We just opened the, you know how Jesus, he just touches everybody. Praise the Lord. I've been just meditating a lot and talking to the Lord about his ministry and how he ministered to people. And I noticed something I noticed about the people and then I noticed about Jesus. And in John, the sixth chapter, there is talking in Jesus was there with a whole crowd of people. And you know, all the people are hungry. And Jesus, of course, he wants them to all be fed. And so he takes this little boy's lunch. And this little boy only had five loaves and two fish. And so he takes those loaves and the fish, the loaves and the fish. And he blesses it and he breaks it. And it starts multiplying right before the people. Until everybody's fed with leftovers. I don't know. I never got leftovers at my house. I quit even trying. But Jesus, you know, he always had leftovers. And so if we go on reading there in John chapter 6, he meets these people again. It's a kind of a long chapter there. He meets them again, and they, the next time that he meets with them, they're wanting more bread because they have learned that he is the dispenser of food. They learn that they can receive from his hand. And they don't really have to look at his face, but they can receive from his hand. And so they are just looking for that. Now, they listen to him, but they really came for the food. So then Jesus says to them, he says, "Well, I am the bread." Wow, they were furious. How can you say, Jesus, that you are the bread, that you are the true bread that comes down from heaven? What are you doing, sporting cannibalism? How can you say, Jesus, to if you drink my blood and if you eat my flesh, you will receive eternal life? Well, what they didn't know, if we fast forward, what they didn't understand was that his broken body was going to do way more than any natural bread could ever do. Way, way more. They didn't know that his blood was going to reconcile every poor, pitiful, hell-deserving sinner across the earth and reconcile them by his blood. So what Jesus is saying here, he's saying to them, when he said, "I am the bread," he's saying, don't just come to my hand and to the provision. He's saying, come to me, come to me, come to me, come to Jesus, the person of me. Hallelujah. Well, if we turn back one chapter, he says the same thing again. John chapter 5 and verse 39, he says this here. He says, he's speaking to religious people here, and he says, "You search and investigate, and you pore over the scriptures diligently because you suppose and you trust that you have eternal life through them. But these very scriptures," he said, "testify of me, and still you are not willing to come to me." That's a big problem there. Still you're not willing to come to me. He said you study the scriptures. In other words, here was a bunch of people, and the scriptures had become an end in themselves. They had created a whole world around the scriptures and made Jesus and his presence unnecessary. The scripture itself was just an end into it. But Jesus, he said, no, that's not right. He said, these scriptures actually testify of me. They point you to come to me. They testify and say, don't stop there with the scriptures, but come on to me, to my person. Partake of me. Come to me, Jesus. The living God. Come to me. Come to me. Come to Jesus. Through what Jesus did, he made it so we could come to God. Before that, before Jesus, that was totally impossible. Not happening anywhere. Man was shut out. He was restricted. He couldn't get to him. But I tell you, the day that our Savior hung his head on that beautiful cross and he cried, "It finished. It is finished." It was finished all right, But one of the greatest things that was finished was the restriction that kept men from coming to Jesus, that kept people from coming to him. The Bible says the curtain of the temple was rent from top to bottom, and the way was opened for us to come to him. Hallelujah. So it's not like the feeding of the 5,000 where we just come to his hand and we never look at any further than his hand. We never look up at his face, but we just keep going to the hand. But we can actually come to Jesus. I think one of the greatest things about prayer, for me, I would have to say, now I love coming to these kind of meetings, and every year, you know, we get to work with God and we get to pray out the plans and the purposes of God. And we've seen so many miracles from actually praying in these meetings for different things. Isn't it true? And I love that. I love the privilege of working with God. But you know, that I call is the fruit of prayer, that working with God. But the root of prayer is coming to him. To him, coming to Jesus, fellowshipping with him, drawing from him, drawing from his person, drawing from his person the life, the nature, the strength, the protection, drawing from him, from the person of Jesus. Coming to him and drawing from him, the root of prayer. Not just his hand, but to him personally. Isn't that a wonderful blessing? Hallelujah. Praise God. You know, the presence of Jesus, and we talked about this some yesterday, can change so many things. Things man can change. Things you can possibly change. Jesus can transform you. He can change you. I was just reading, and I have been reading the last few weeks also, the disciples on the road to Emmaus. And on one of our Israel trips, we went to the road, on the road to Emmaus. You know, and I was kind of expecting it to look like it did then, but now it's just a little path with some weeds either side of it. Well, just kind of worn out path. I tell you what, Christians, we need, as Christians, that's something we need to do, is make that path again. But on the road to Emmaus over in Luke 24, you remember the disciples there. Jesus came alongside of him after the resurrection. And they were discussing all the things that had happened. And the Bible says, he expounded to them from Moses all the way through the scriptures and told about himself. Wow. And you know what it said about that communion with him? There, they said, didn't our hearts burn through that communion? Didn't our hearts burn? If we could just from this meeting get a fresh and a new revelation, that's what I'm believing for from myself, of the presence of God and the power of God and what that presence and that power does for you. You know how much it changes you. You know, Paul put such emphasis on it in his ministry because he was born again from the presence of Jesus and the glory of God. And I think that's one of the reasons he spoke so much on the glory, is because he had been raised by the glory. And remember, 3 days he was without sight, because the glory of God so filled his eyes. But you know, over in Acts 22, it says this. I love this. Now, he's testifying about what happened, what we actually read about in Acts 9, but he's testifying here, and he's talking about when Ananias, you know, after after Jesus came to him, to Paul there. And it, you know, he wasn't ready for his calling. He wasn't really ready. Yeah, Lord, I know that. He wasn't really ready for what was coming. It was always the will of God that Paul write 2/3 of the New Testament. Wasn't it? It was always the will of God that he be an apostle to the nations. But he couldn't do it like it was. He had to have some kind of power and some kind of presence to change him, and he got it. And so all of his life in ministry, you know that he said this? I love this. He said, in my weakness. It was almost like he wanted to be weak. He wanted to be weak in his humanness so that the power could take over and he would be in the strength of God. I'm telling you. Yesterday I saw something, an amazing thing in this meeting. I had prayed for, it was over on this side, and there was a whole bunch of people, elderly people, and I was going down the line praying, and there was lots of noise and clamor around me, but suddenly I didn't hear that, and I heard the voice of the Lord, and he started speaking to me about Joel chapter 2, and he said, remember that part where it said, in the outpouring of the Spirit, your old men shall dream dreams. Your old men, that's not talking to you, Keter. We always get up. Your old men shall dream dreams. He said, that's not talking about night dreams. He said, that is talking about what a young boy, the kind of dream that he would have in his heart and life for his upcoming life. And he said, I laid in men gifts and anointings and power that has laid dormant until the last days, to the very last days. And those gifts are going to come out. Those anointings are going to come out, and they will be called end time Abrahams, because Abraham considered not his own weakness, but he got over into the strength of God. But I love how Paul, how God used him, and how the glory, he so was in tune to that. And evidently when Ananias was sent over to him to pray for him, I love what he said in Acts 22. He says in verse 12, he said, and Ananias, are y'all there? Oh, you don't have to be there. I'll just read it. And Ananias, a devout man according to the law, well spoken by all the Jews who resided there, came to see me. And standing by my side, he said to me, Brother Saul, look up and receive back your sight. And in that very instant, I recovered my sight and looking up, saw him. And he said, the God of our forefathers has destined and appointed you to come progressively to know him. He's going to progressively come to know God, not just by the word that he got on the backside of Arabia, but he is going to come to know God by the presence of Jesus. And here it says this, to progressively come to know him, to perceive and to recognize more strongly and clearly, and to become better and more intimately acquainted with him. Notice this, and to see Jesus, and to hear a voice from his own mouth and a message from his own lips. For you will be his witness unto all men of everything that you have seen and heard. 3 years later. 3 years later. Verse 17. And when I had come back to Jerusalem, and I was praying in the temple, I fell into a trance. Oh, hallelujah. I thank God for that trance. I thank God for the presence of Jesus. Beautiful, beautiful Jesus. Here he was, intellectual, Torah scholar. Here he was, master, theologian. Bless God for the trance. And it says, and I saw him as he said to me, hurry, get quickly out of Jerusalem, because they will not receive your testimony about me. Then verse 21. And the Lord said to me, go, for I will send you far away into the Gentile nations. Here it is. A watershed. Changes. Everything changes in that moment that he saw him and in that moment that he heard him. Everything changed. My God. You know, Moses, I think Moses so lived in the presence of God. I picture it like he lived, you know, almost like the presence of the Lord was almost like an oxygen chamber for him. And he loved the presence of God. And over in Exodus 33, Moses kind of argues with the Lord, because the Lord says to him, y'all are stiff-necked and I'm not going with you. And Moses said, well, if you're not going, if your presence is not going with me, do not carry me up from here. In other words, Moses was wanting no impersonator. God represents himself. He blesses the world through the transmission of himself. Hallelujah. And so Moses says, well, Don't carry me. Let's go over there and look at that. I want to show you something else about it, because of what Billy was talking about last night when she said it's Exodus 33. He said in verse 14, the Lord said to Moses, he said, to a chapter, Exodus 33, and the Lord said, my presence shall go with you, and I will give you rest. And Moses said to the Lord, if your presence does not go with me, don't carry me up from here. Now notice why. Why the presence? For by what shall it be known that I and your people have found favor in your sight? Is it not by your going with us that we are distinguished? Why do you think that the temple was magnificent and filled with fame? Because of him. Because of his presence. Because of his glory. And so the Lord says, okay, I'm going to go with you. But you know what? People that are hungry, they have this soul-seeking hunger for the presence of God. They're not satisfied. So Moses, he wasn't. He said, you know, actually, he didn't really say this, but I'm kind of, you know. He said, no, actually, you know, I like the presence that you already said that you're going to give me while I go, but now that you're here and we're talking, I'm going to have more. And so he said, oh, Lord, I beseech you, show me your glory. Show me your glory. And God said, okay, here's the deal. I'm going to sit you in the cleft of a rock, and I'm going to pass by you. And when I pass by you, you're going to receive more. And so he hides him in the rock. And so Moses is in there. And God passes by. But you know that God, he doesn't pass by like any other person that you ever known. You know, if he's as fast as light, shoo. So Moses, he didn't really see God where he was because God was gone. But there was a residue from where God passed by. A residue. So much so. He received, you know, that Moses shows us the capacity that we as individuals have to receive the power and the presence of God, so much so that his face shone, radiated the light and the glory of God. So God passes by him, and there was this residue of God that was left. Residue is something that's left over from the content. And Moses knew there was an absorption, a saturation level that you receive of him, where you get more and more and more. The Lord said to me years ago, those that are rocked in the bosom of the Father shall do the greatest works in the last days. That would be because they've walked so close to the Lord, so much of the presence. They receive more, and they receive more, and they receive more and more. But this story here, you know, it reminds me, you know, if you want kind of a picture of this, it would be, you know that scripture, Isaiah, it says, I saw the Lord, and he was high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Or we could say, his trail filled the temple. There was something left behind. Or, you know, like an airplane or a comet flies through the sky. And you go, there's an airplane. There isn't an airplane. That's what's left of the airplane. It's like a contrail. I know that my oldest son, Jim, when he was a little boy, he had some friends, and they had matchbox cars. They had suitcases of them, honest, lined up on the wall over there. And so spray paint came out about the same time as the cars did. And so this one day, he had a friend over, and they decided they wanted to spray paint some of their cars. So we picked out a select few, and we went into the garage and lined them up on the newspaper. That was good, wasn't it? Lined them up on the newspaper, and we got the spray cans out and sprayed them. Then you understand really what residue is. Because when you picked up the car, it left the exact impression. The characteristics of that car were left right there on the paper. You get it? I know in 1996 through 1998, we had a revival in our church. I was talking about it yesterday. And one of the most wonderful things to me about that revival was at night, after everybody left, sanctuary quiet. Have you ever heard snow? I mean, some of y'all didn't even know about snow, but where I live, we know a lot about it. And we're very acquainted with it. But so, if you listen, you can hear snow falling. It's the most sweetest sound. Not all the time when it snows, but sometimes when it snows, you can hear the sound. So I would, after the services were over, back to that revival at the church, I would sit, go into the sanctuary, and I would sit on the steps. Just sit there in the residue. Sit in the anointing. Just sit there in the holy hush of God, the stillness of him. It almost be like you needed to be careful or something. You didn't want to move because this gentle dove is working, and you didn't want to disturb it. This is after everybody left. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Jesus gives us what we need in his presence. Hallelujah. Let's just come to Jesus just for a minute. Just for a minute. Just in your heart now. Just in your heart. Look at Jesus. Just come to him in your heart. Isn't that wonderful how God made a way for us to do that? We just close our eyes right now. And we'll come to Jesus. Actually, I like to just come to Jesus a little better than that. Let's maybe, if you feel led or something, if you want to just come up here. Let's come around the altar. Let's do that for just a little bit. I'm not done yet or anything, but let's just do that. Let's just come to Jesus. Just maybe you want to make a chair an altar. Come to Jesus. Remember, think about it right now. You're coming to Jesus. You're walking and you're coming to Jesus. Maybe you want to just stay at your seat. Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. A blessing from heaven. That I can walk with you and talk with you, and you tell me, you say, you are my own. And the joy we share as we tarry there, hallelujah,
shoot.
If you get tired on your knees, don't stay on your knees because it'll keep you from being with Jesus. Get comfortable in the presence of the Lord. Remember where we've come. We've come to Mount Zion. to the heavenly Jerusalem. Not just to Jesus, but we've come to the living God, to the innumerable company of angels, to the judge of all the earth, to the church, the firstborn.
God. You know, Lynn, when you were talking about Moses, what he said to the Lord, I just want to be as brave as Moses and ask him
for more
to show us his glory. Would you lead us in that?
Everybody, just from your heart.
Oh, Lord.
Show us, Lord, your glory.
Show us your glory. We don't want to go on without it.
Show us, Lord, your glory.
We don't want to have church without it. We don't want to have meetings without it.
Show us your glory, Lord.
Show us your glory, Lord.
For the
Please
sake.
Show us your glory.
For the sake of a lost world.
For the sake of the world.
For the sake of
to
your harvest.
Us. What would separate us from the world, Lord?
And distinguish us amongst all the people of the world. Separate.
Oh, Lord. Show us your glory.
Lord, we have to come to the finishing. There has to come a time when you say, it's finished.
Show us your glory, Lord.
Show us.
Samara, like we've never seen before.
More.
More. We have to have more. We have to have more.
We're so
obstinate.
For
we're
more,
to ask you for
more,
it.
For more, for
to
more.
Believe you for it. Celebrando
the
signs and
come
wonders
to her
and miracles
and her rising.
Oh, shendele brava soto do mala, kashendele baratanya neke. That we would arise and be radiant. Be radiant, Lord. People can see radiancy. They can see it. All over the masoto do maradinyato. We come together as a body here. We have come to the Master. We have come, Oshendeli Marata. We have come as much as we can know in unity. I believe, Father, there's a great love in this place for you and for each other because you have given it to us.
Hallelujah.
Oh, Father. Thank you, Lord. We turn from disunity. We repent and make a turn. As much as lieth in us to be at peace with our brethren. Praise you, Lift your voices. Se l'autorità la chiana vela cala le loli chiene voroli chiene. The Lord's doing something with our voices and the instruments. Let him do it. Come on. Ore le voroli. Now the women. Yeah. bless them in. Now just all voices. Spirit. He's bringing us into some high praises now. Now, the high soprano voices. The high soprano voices. No musicians, just high soprano voices. All high sopranos, if you're a high soprano, lead it out, ladies. Come here, Shelley. Shelley, you come and lead it. The high sopranos. Just if you're a high soprano, follow her. That's all that matters. The Lord is pleased. Sing that with me. The Lord is pleased. The Lord is pleased.
The Lord is pleased.
The Lord is pleased.
The Lord is pleased.
To give unto thee the request you have made, and truly you shall see,
and truly you shall see
the glory of the Lord,
the glory of the Lord,
the glory of the Lord. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Kito. Yahweh Sabaoth, Jehovah of armies, Lord of hosts. The trumpet of assembly to the ranks is sounding. And my armies are arrayed for battle. You, my bride, are a bride with banners, an army with banners, triumphant, triumphant, magnificent, and glorious. And it shall be from this time forward, you will march into God. And on the way, you will win every fray. The captain of your salvation is leading you, and you are following true. You've laid down the swords that you used on your brother. You've laid down the swords that you've used on one another. Now, you are free to take up the sword of the Spirit that I wield through thee. My voice, you will hear it. Your choice is made. You have come to the rhythm of my drum, and it will never be the same after today. My thoughts will fill you. Your thoughts will melt away and grow dim in the light of my glory and my grace. That you have spoken, we have received, and we will march in the light of your glory and grace. Amen. Forever changed. Forever changed. Hallelujah. I think we should just go in this. As they would say in Spanish, vaya con Dios.